it's a really joyful day seeing the kids, and yet I want to start us off with kind of a negative note. When you get to the end of your life, if you could take a quick look back, what would you guess would be your biggest failure? Biggest thing that you did wrong? Now, picture that in your mind. What do you think? Maybe it's something that already happened when you were 16 and you're really ashamed of, or maybe it's something that might happen in the future. What would you pick if you had to say, that was my biggest mistake? That was my biggest, oh, I'm ashamed of that. So I could see some, Steve's thinking, I can see people are thinking, some people, Bob's got an idea, I think. Are you okay if I tell you, my guess would be is that you're wrong with whatever you just came up with in your mind? Here's why I think you're wrong, is because I think the worst, the most cruel people get, the most hateful, the most stingy, the people that they treat the worst are people that they don't even see. People they've covered up their eyes to, or some situation that they've ignored, that they're blind to. That's when we're the worst, us, is people that we're blind to. Here's a quick example. One of our founding fathers, a hero of American history, 1775, he gave a real inspiring speech. Historians attribute this quote to him. Patrick Henry, he says, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." I mean, that's what he says, and it ain't, you know, people are all excited about it. People love Patrick Henry because of this quote. I mean, that's a great quote, and he lived it out. He spent his whole life fighting for freedom. He didn't like the original Constitution because it made the federal government too powerful, and if only he could see current day and stuff like that. But Patrick Henry fought for freedom his whole life. All of his big political moves and stuff, he was very big on personal freedom. Let me read you another quote that he actually wrote with his own hand. It's from his will, and he was writing this with regards to his wife. He said, spelling's a little different back then. He says, "If she chooses to set free one or two of my slaves, she's to have the full power to do so." Like, we just got excited about Patrick Henry. We like him. And if you really like him, your stomach kind of turns when you see that. And you're like, ooh. Like, if you like the guy, you're just disappointed. And you're just like, ugh. And maybe you're like, I didn't even like him because I knew this stuff already or something. Because it's, even if you've just seen a movie about slavery or just have some little idea of what slavery was like in America, you know how grimy and evil and terrible like it was. But this guy who spent his whole life fighting for freedom, he also, in his own household, had slaves. And you might be spending your whole life saying, this is the most important thing for me. And maybe in your own household or with the people you work with every day, you're ignoring some part of that mission. That's scary. It's scary when Jesus, or, you know, Patrick Henry, I believe he died, or obviously he died. I believe he went and had a conversation with Jesus. And I wonder if Jesus said, great job with freedom, you know, Patrick Henry. I really like that quote. I mean, Patrick Henry's no worse than any of the rest of us. I'm not trying to beat up on him. We're all sinners, and we've all got really gross stuff in our life. The scary thing is the worst thing you're doing something you don't even notice? I don't think Patrick Henry went around feeling guilty. And what if you are going around not feeling guilty, but you've got some giant failure because you're not seeing something? So Bob's going to tell us another story where same guy, same situation, long time ago, guy didn't see the thing right in front of him.
So we're going to read through this pretty quickly, and then we'll make some application once we do some reading, okay? So in Luke chapter 7, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house, reclined at table. By the way, they ate lying down, and might not be a bad idea. So woman of the town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. This lady was not welcome to the house, but she somehow got in, and in that day you could actually do it. We'll leave that for another day. So she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, kissed them, poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee saw this, he said, now just stop for a moment. This is church, and we all know this. This story comes packaged in a leather book, and it has Holy Bible on the front, so we sort of know the story. But just think about it. I'm preaching this sermon, and some lady comes out of the audience and starts taking Jake's shoe off. And then she pulls his sock off. And then she starts kissing his feet. And yeah, I know. And she's crying on top of his feet. And she takes her hair down. She has a nice hair piled up, you know. She takes it down, and she starts wiping his feet. And you are doing what? You're not hearing the thing I'm saying. All right? You have completely lost it. And this is what's going through your head. Bob and Jake have some crazy skit going on, and we're waiting for the punchline. All right? Or what in the world is going on here? Chrissy, where are you? Come rescue your husband, you know? I mean, you could find all sorts of stuff there, but that's the scene. And the guy was perfectly justified in figuring out what is going on here. I mean, you know, just because it comes in our Bible doesn't mean that story, we can't live it out. All right, fair enough. So if she knew who was touching him, what kind of woman she is, she's a sinner. All right, let's go. So Jesus is going to tell him a story. His name is Simon. Simon, I've got something to say to you. He says, tell it to me, teacher. And so a lot of times for Jesus to get us to pull our fingers from away from our eyes so that we can really see. Every time, the last two times I heard it, early service, this service, Jake tell the story about Patrick Henry. Here's a prayer that I thought of. God, help me to see my own blind spots. Because I am blind to a lot of stuff. God, help me see my own blind spots. So Jesus tells Simon a story to help him see his blind spots. So he says, thank you, sir. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. 500 denarii is more than a year's wages. 50 is a whole lot less. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, who would love him the most? Well, Simon says, I suppose the one was forgiven the bigger debt. And he said, you're right. And so he turned toward the woman and said, this is something do not miss. He said to Simon, do you see this woman? Truth is, Simon didn't see the woman. He saw a problem. He saw a sinner. He saw somebody he didn't want in his house. He saw somebody he thought was beneath him. And so where Simon saw a problem, Jesus saw a person. We're going to return to that in just a minute and talk more about it. Let's finish this up. So he said, when I came to your house, you didn't give me any water, but she wet my feet with her tears. She wiped my with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss. This woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head. She poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. So she's showing that she has been forgiven through her love. Whoever's been forgiven little loves little. And the crowd says to the woman, or Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the crowd says, who can forgive sins? And Jesus turns to the woman and he says, your faith saved you. Go in peace. And go in peace is more than just giving a peace sign and saying, good for you. Go in peace is going to the wholeness, the goodness, and the blessings of God. So it's a big deal. All right, so that's a story. We want to use that story to get down to our lives. And Jake, you got a video to show us?
Yeah, so Simon, the Pharisee, saw a problem, and a normal person would have just seen a problem. But Jesus saw this lady could love God more than anyone else in the room. He saw an opportunity for something beautiful where other people only saw a problem. So we've got a little video. It's kind of an out there, weird lady in the video, but she sees an opportunity where other people just see problem. Okay, let's watch.
I live in West Oakland. which is just a part of Oakland that's been sort of traumatized. West Oakland is a total food desert, mostly because it's like all liquor stores and they don't make any money selling fresh produce. I had this vegetable garden. I dug up my parking strip and planted fava beans and squash. This was an abandoned lot. It still is an abandoned lot. and so we decided we would just start gardening on it. We went up to the beekeeping place and got our first beehive. And then I started hearing about people that kept backyard chickens. And I thought, well, I can do that. So I raised turkeys and ducks and geese, and then rabbits, pigs, goats. Then I started running into people who would be like, yeah, I'm an urban farmer. And I'm like, well, what the hell is that? And they're like, well, kind of what you're doing. Everything that I do is totally small scale, never like some business model. In an urban farm, you're going to grow stuff in usually raised beds, and you're going to do this interplanting kind of thing where you're trying to pack as much stuff in as possible into this little space. There's more of an attention to detail for the urban farm. You can go out and actually like hang out with your lettuce plants and like look at them and be like, are they doing well? A lot of people are like, well, why don't you just move to the country? And it's like, well, what I learned was that I could feed the animals from the waste stream. So I would be able to go to these dumpsters of these, like, you know, high-end organic grocery stores and feed my rabbits. One of the biggest triumphs is actually seeing people from my neighborhood come in and harvesting food. It's nice to have community gardens where people can just stop by and pick stuff. And I mean, I love having a garden. I just, you know, I'll just be like, wow, what am I going to eat for dinner? Well, what's growing out there? Many of my neighbors are from Vietnam or Somalia or Yemen, and those countries have a very active urban agriculture scene. And so when they see that I have chickens in the backyard or, you know, goats or anything, they're sort of like, oh yeah, right, just like back home. Our particular neighborhood is called Ghost Town. It's because there's so many abandoned lots. There's drug dealers on the street, there's prostitutes, people are growing weed, there are bigger fish to fry in terms of like, what are people gonna call the police because I have pigs? I take the sort of state of anarchy of our neighborhood to my advantage.
I take the state of anarchy of our neighborhood to my advantage. Now, most people in the room, when they think of that statement, they think of their old life and maybe different ways that they abused a system like that. But she says, you know, my neighborhood has tons of crime. There's drug dealers and prostitutes and whatever else happening right around us. But I saw an opportunity in the midst of all that, that since there's not enough police, no police are going to stop me from having pigs or having goats or whatever else on land where I shouldn't. So she has this idea of doing something good where the average person would only see problems. And if we're not going to make the same mistake that Patrick Henry made or that Simon the Pharisee made, we're going to have to see things in a different way. Patrick Henry was really smart. Simon the Pharisee was probably really smart. But they just had regular eyes. And so they went through life missing the big point in Jesus' eyes, I think. So before we get any further on that, Bob, tell us about how Jesus saw this lady.
Well, first of all, you remember a couple of weeks ago when Jake showed the picture of the seed man, and that was his hero? Well, this lady's mine, okay? And what I like about her is that she was able to see possibilities out of a wilderness, okay? She saw broken down cities as a place where she could actually make something bloom and grow. As I thought about that, I really couldn't wait till we showed that video after Jake had let me look at it, because it says so much to us. And so you remember Jesus said to the woman, or to Simon, excuse me, do you see this woman? And Simon didn't see her. And here, I want to ask you, do you see yourself through the eyes of Jesus? When you look at yourself, do you think, yeah, I'm like that place that had the broken windshield and the weeds and the graffiti, and that's all I am. I'm just a mess. Or do you see yourself as a place where God can plant life? Had a couple of guys here Wednesday night. Fellows from Maple House helped clean our kitchen on Wednesday nights, and I was taking them home, and these fellows were brand new. They may be here in church today. I don't know for sure. But they said, thank you for letting us come to your church. And to tell you the truth, that broke my heart, and I wanted to correct them immediately. And so if you are sitting in the crowd today and you're thinking, boy, I'm glad you've provided a church like this for me and I can come here, you need to know something. That banquet at Simon's house wasn't for Simon. It was for the woman. Jesus just borrowed Simon's house and Simon's food because his real intention, he knew that woman was going to be there, and he was there to give her life. And then once she got life, she was going to touch hundreds of other lives. How many thousands upon thousands of sermons have been preached about that woman over the course of history, right? So this place is not just that you can come and gate crash the Maywood party. This party is for you. And Jesus is here for you because he wants to take the broken places of your life and to cause them to bloom. And just like the lady probably feeds her neighbors and feeds herself and helps the whole neighborhood out, he's going to do that in your life so that you can feed and help and bless other people. Now, I could preach a long time about that, but it's 2 minutes to 12, so you've heard all I'm going to hear, but Jake's going to end us up.
Yeah. So that lady lived in a place called, a neighborhood called Ghost Town, and yet there's new life springing up there. Whatever your past is, like, God can do beautiful things in your life. But maybe you're still reeling about Patrick Henry, and you're like, I don't want to be like that guy. I don't want to miss something big and make a big mistake in my own household. So look at those eyes that Jesus has. What if you prayed this week? What if you got down on your knees this week and you said, God, change my eyes to be like your eyes? I want to see a problem at my work, or that punk that lives up the street from me, or a situation with somebody I live with. I want to see it in your eyes. If you will take one problem in your life and hand it over to Jesus and say, let me see it with your eyes, I think Jesus will show you something creative, something you didn't expect. So today we're going to end our service by one more baby dedication, okay? And so Brianna is going to come up on stage, and Bob is going to grab flowers, I think, and a Bible right down there. Thank you, Bob. And Brown's bringing Easton. So I wanted to end the service this way, obviously for the logistics of Brown was getting baptized, so we couldn't have her in two places at once. Oh yeah, come on up if you don't mind. So this is Brown and Easton. And just real quick, we got to tell the other families about raising kids is about loving God and then talking to our kids about God. And when they ask us why, it's about telling them our story. How did God impact us? And I know, Brianna, God's impacted you in a lot of ways. As you guys go out this week, I want you guys seeing things in a new way. See the potential that God sees. When God looks at this new family, think of all the potential that he sees. So let's pray together over them. Normally, we end our service by praying a blessing over you guys. I want us all to pray a blessing over them. God, I thank you so much for this family. God, I pray for little Easton, that you would fill him with your courage, that you would fill him with a hunger for you. God, I pray for this mother, that you would bless her with your strength, with your courage. I pray that you continue to bless the whole family through these two. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can go in peace. Thank you.